All right, welcome in. It's a Patriots Monday here, WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arcan, Andy Hart, live from Gillette Stadium. A little cold here at Gillette Stadium today. Our young Brian got held up at security. They didn't even want us to come in here and talk about this game today.
Well, they shouldn't.
They should.
It was a hideous football game.
It was an ugly, ugly game. The Patriots get smoked by the San Francisco 49ers, just like everybody thought they would. I mean, really, everybody thought so. I don't know anybody who thought otherwise. I will defend my pick in a little bit here, but let's go ahead and start off with, exactly what went wrong here. There was a time and a point in the game where it seemed like there was some things going well. It wasn't completely dog crap the entire time. The offense did move the ball a little bit. Even on that first drive, they picked up a couple of first downs. There were times where the defense seemed to be playing better than others. But all in all, it just seemed like another sloppy, unfocused, talentless kind of bleep show is really what it looked like. I mean, there's a lot of guys over on that 49ers team, Andy, and we talked about this. If you were drafting this game, it would be almost all 49ers.
Yep.
And that really, I think, was on display.
So to tie our first segment, Red Sox postmortem dump press conference, and this segment together, there's some similarities in these teams because I thought all year there was a question of, like, what do you know exactly what you're going to get from the Red Sox in what area? Like, there were ups and downs, starting pitching great, starting pitching good enough, starting pitching not great, bullpen not great, like, and your tent poles, what you're going to build your team on. And I would ask the same question through four games, which we're still calling a quarter of the season. I heard Devon Godshaw call it the quarter pole of the season, and I'm going to do so even though it's still a 17-game season. I don't know what this team is really good at because the defense has not lived up to its reputation. There's been flashes. A couple red zone stops is what prevented this from being really ugly yesterday.
Yes.
Really, really ugly. But then I thought when they could have used a stop that might have changed this game, after halftime, you get the fumble, you get the touchdown, you cut it to 20-10 early in the third quarter, you got a ball game. Like, I still thought the 49ers played the game on their terms and were controlling everything, but you're only down 10 with two quarters of football to play. Well, you're only down 10 for like 2 minutes because your defense couldn't hold them. They immediately go down and it's 27-10, and that is stick a fork in them, they're done, ball game over. And offensively, we knew there were going to be struggles. But I think you'd hoped that, okay, you're going to run the ball. Well, that guy drops the ball a lot. He gives it to the other team. My whole theory, if we're taking our apology laps here a little bit, my whole theory that guys will go for the football on Ramondre because he's got a target on his back and that'll allow him to break arm tackles, well, he gave them the ball again.
Sure did.
So that kind of fell on its face. And I don't know what is good about this football team.
You were right, they targeted him. I mean, you had that part right.
Yeah, no, but I thought it would be opportunities.
That he would be not fumbling anymore. But, yeah, I mean, that's a big problem. That's a major problem.
And when you're not good on either side of the ball, I know everybody wants to say that special teams is a third of the game. It kind of really isn't because their special teams was good. You know, Gerard Mayo said it. Special teams had a day. The punter was good. The kicker was good. Brendan Schooler was all over the field. He looks like he's a developing Matthew Slater, core special teamer guy that continues to get better. But offensively and defensively, you just didn't measure up.
No, and if the only thing you're excelling in is special teams, and by special teams like long field goals, the occasional really nice punt, a turnover forced by a tackle on a punt return,
you can't
or something
win
along those lines. It's nice to see that, and I know that in the old days with Belichick, it was like, wow, even the special teams, look at them elevating their game, like when something like that would happen, and it would be this big testament to Belichick and how great he was. That's all you have, that's a testament to how poor your roster
right.
is.
Special teams is supposed to be the toppings on a good bowl of ice cream.
Right.
If you just have the toppings, are you excited? Oh, sweet, a bowl full of chocolate syrup with a little whipped cream on top and
I mean,
nuts.
That does sound okay, but yes, I know what you mean.
I need the ice cream.
I need the substantive
base for it to be built upon. Maybe two different flavors. They don't have any flavors of ice cream right now. They just have toppings, and the toppings aren't going to win anything for
you. I thought that the Niners would be tight. I thought they'd come out and play the game tight, and I think there were at some points in the game where they did. I didn't think they looked like 100% their the high operating thing. I called Brock Purdy everything but a man of God over the past week. I mean, really, I do not think he's very good.
Still?
He tore him up last
night. Oh, okay.
I mean, that was an absolute master class in how to, number one, navigate and negotiate the pocket. He had a bunch of great throws. He was awesome. I don't know how much more of an L I could possibly take on all the things I said about Brock Purdy. He was tremendous in that game. I still think that there are times where he looks like he's went way over his head, but last night was certainly not one of those games. And I don't know if it necessarily could have been, But that defense could have probably made his life a little tougher. There was one sack where he ran around for about 10 seconds.
Yep.
He was just running around. Da-da, anybody over here? Anybody over there? No one's around. He's eating a sandwich. He's, like, having a beer. No one even came close to him. And then finally, eventually, after, like, 11 seconds, someone comes in and sacks him.
Which is embarrassing because he's not Lamar Jackson.
No.
He's not Michael Vick. He's not whoever you think is the most athletic, crazy, moving around kind of guy. Like, he's Brock Purdy. He's fine. You gave him the edge, and we'll get into that later. Like,
right. The one thing you swore not to do.
Well, a couple things.
No fumbles and no letting the quarterback escape the pocket. Both of those things happened immediately.
Both were problems. And that's a problem. We talked about it on Friday. Gerard Mayo is in the crosshairs.
Yep.
And I know some people, like I put out a poll for blame pie on the Patriots offense, but Gerard Mayo is the head coach of the football team. The reality is it falls on your shoulders. And he says it. I give him credit. Blame me. I get to fix that. That starts with me. He does a lot of those Belichickian phrases.
Yep.
But the reality is he doesn't have any resume and cachet to fall back on. He's now a 1-3 football coach in his first year and a team that's trending in the wrong direction. If we're going to do any silver lining talk, because I like to be objective, it's not all crap. It's not all pylon day. I didn't think they quit. I thought they had energy basically for four quarters.
I'd agree with that.
This was just a game where
I don't know how much value I place in it, but I do agree with that.
Then we can get into discussions about roster and talent
right.
and scheme. But this wasn't a they didn't want to try, they didn't want to win, they didn't play four quarters. I thought they wanted to play, they wanted to win. They're just not a very good football team right now, especially, I mean, the offensive line. It wasn't as bad as I think we all expected it to be. I talked to you for the pregame show. And I didn't think the line was as bad as expected it to be, especially if you had told me David Andrews is going to leave.
Right.
And we're going to have to put Nick Leverett in. And I'm not saying the line was good, but it wasn't the absolute train wreck, I guess, that it could have been if I had known that Nick Leverett was going
to
be in there.
I'd agree with you there, and I would also go a step further and say that, to me, made that Brissett's worst game. I think that was his worst game so far this year. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's not his worst game ever in his career, but that was his worst game as a Patriot so far in 2024. He had time on a lot of those throws.
Yep.
He had time on the interception, on the pick six. He had time to look around the field. He had two guys open, and he throws it right to Fred Warner. He talked about it already. We'll ask him about it. 4:30, by the way. 4:30-ish.
Ooh.
Not sure if we're getting him in studio or on the phone. This was just handed to me by Maddie the Marine back there. But, yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm hearing in studio.
In studio.
In studio.
Terrific. All right, good.
I have good sources, I hope.
I hope so.
Otherwise,
too.
I will out my source, and I'm not lying.
4:30. We'll talk to Brissett. We'll talk to him right here. I'm not sure exactly what's going to be happening with Jonathan Jones, who also slated to talk to you today. I don't think we have a time on him yet, but we will ask him what went wrong as well. Mm-hmm. He was right there for that big chunk play you just mentioned. After the Patriots get a break, that was a break on that fumble, on that muff kickoff or the muff punt, whatever it was, and then the touchdown there to Austin Hooper, followed by a huge play with Deebo Samuel, who didn't look too banged up to me. I mean,
nope.
I was told that him and not just him, but him and George Kittle were both dealing with these real serious injuries and weren't going to be at 100%, and both of them absolutely ate you up. I mean, that Kittle touchdown, that thing was ridiculous. That was Gronkowski and Gonzalez rolled into one.
Both of those, the two deep balls and the Kittle touchdown, those were kind of bully ball.
Yeah.
Like, we're the eighth graders, you're the sixth graders. You don't belong on this field, but we need a few more people to play, so we'll let you play. But there was no F's given by the San Francisco 49ers. They thought they were better. And I will say, early on, Deebo took a big hit from Peppers.
Yep.
And no worse for the wear, right? Like, Peppers does that to Jalen Hurts last year, it's a fumble. Peppers does that to certain people, maybe it affects the game. Deebo is just like, okay, we're going to keep doing what we're doing. And I thought there was a little, even on the defensive side of the ball, Bosa didn't dominate the day, but he played bully ball right up until the end.
Yeah.
He kind of embarrassed the hell's his name? DeMontre Jacobs. Should I learn his name? This sounds disrespectful, but should I take the time to learn his name? Because it's week five now, and they've had four different players so far play left tackle. Should I bother learning his name, or is he going to be rotated right out?
I don't know. Host two of WEEI Afternoon.
Oh, that's
show,
hurtful.
But, hey, host one is not sure either. So, I mean, let's say, I'll remember his name. Because there's two, they have two guys they picked up off the practice squad, off waivers, who are both humongous. This guy, DeMontre Jacobs, who's 6'6", 3-something. And then this other guy, Caleb Jones, who they got coming in next, 6'9", 370.
You
and
like
he's
him.
The one. I mean, listen.
You like yourself a big man.
A big left tackle, I think, is got to be worth something, although it really wasn't worth much there against Bosa. He kept screaming around the side there. They had the backup DT in there. He's pushing guys around. It was another brutal day for the offensive line, but this is what you come to expect now. I mean, this is if they hold up at all, and they did a few times. There was a few times where Brissett had a reasonably clean pocket, or at least an extra second normally than he usually does. I wonder if he's seeing ghosts out there. I really do.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I think that there comes a point where you feel that you hear those footsteps, whether they're coming or not. And after a month of this, I mean, what do you expect?
Have you seen his face after every hit, the grimace that he makes?
Yeah.
And the, like, there was that extended one where he went down on 1D. He was almost Tebowing for a while down there, then finally got off the field. The guy is getting the snot kicked out of him. And I'm sorry. Have you ever, like, the kids play the games where they hit each other and then they see if they flinch? And he's flinching.
Yeah.
He should flinch. You know why he's flinching? Because he keeps getting hit. He's under pressure 50% of the time. He drops back. So it's a coin flip as to whether he's going to get knocked on his ass. And something in his midsection is hurting. He's probably going to tell us, feel good. I always get up. Like, he's a good soldier, tough guy, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Something in here is not right. He has an upper body injury in the National Hockey Association League, whatever the hell it is.
National League. Hockey League.
I was going to say association.
Nah, it's okay.
It's not the NBA. So, yeah, he should be hearing footsteps because they're actually coming most of the time. So
yep.
They're not ghosts. There's a couple times, but I'd be looking at – the funny thing is, you're right, he actually had the ball in his hand for a while yesterday.
He held the ball too long on at least four or five plays.
But that's also part of it. Sometimes, yeah. Like, you're being too perfect. Or we've talked about it. Why is he playing? To avoid mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're trying to avoid mistakes, don't you hold the ball longer? Because you're not taking chances. Now, ironically, he had a strip sack late. He had the interception. He didn't avoid the mistakes yesterday against a good defense. But when you're trying to avoid mistakes, I think you hold the ball longer.
Yeah. Without the special teams turnover, the Patriots would have had 6 points on two very long field goals.
Oh, yeah.
That sort of sums it up, doesn't it? Like, we're talking about almost another shutout. Like, this is the type of output that you look at and you think, okay, even if you do bring in Drake May, like, I've always been about bringing in Drake May, but I watch a game like that and I just think, man, this team's not going to be good no matter who's out there. That's how I feel. That's how I felt much later in the year last year. But when they kept yo-yoing back and forth from Mac Jones to Bailey Zappe and neither one of them could lead a scoring drive, it's like, well, you know, I don't know if you could bring in Josh Allen and turn anything with this team. This doesn't seem functional. It seems like you have a dysfunctional offense that can't really do anything. And, I mean, if you look at it, bottom fives all around. You have a bottom five quarterback, a bottom five O-line. You have a bottom five wide receiver group. I'm putting Ramondre Stevenson on the bottom five, too, by the way. No other running back has more than two fumbles. He's got four. I'm sorry, that's bottom five, whether you like it or not. And that's a major problem, by the way. All the problems with this offense, and he's your biggest liability right now, like, that's not an exaggeration. You can make that argument. And I don't know what you do about it. You have what you have. There's some guys out there on practice squads around the NFL. No one that really sets my toes a tap in here, but you can't have a guy fumbling every single game.
That's why everybody's like, if Belichick were here, he'd be benched. Can you bench him?
No.
You don't really have.
Really,
I said all along I thought they
Unless
needed
you want to call up Harris from the practice squad.
But I don't even like, they needed a veteran backup. And I know he's toast in Dallas. He's not even playing. But, mm-hmm. like, you need an Ezekiel Elliott to turn to.
I was going
to
say, they missed Elliott last night.
Absolutely.
They've been missed him all year, really.
100%.
Yeah.
So, but real quick, I want you to verbally vote. You know I'm big on the verbal votes.
Okay. Yay or nay?
After 4 weeks, who/what do you blame most for the Patriots' offensive struggles? Is it quarterback Jacoby Brissett? Is it Alex Van Pelt, your offensive coordinator? Is it the offensive line play? Or is it Elliott Wolf's roster?
Elliott Wolf's roster.
Elliott Wolf's, Brian wants to vote as well. He also voted for Elliott Wolf's roster. That is leading the poll. We're about 600, 700 votes in an hour. 44% say Elliott Wolf's roster, followed closely by offensive line play at 42%.
Which is kind of the same answer.
Kind of the same.
I know what you mean. Yeah, I am.
Alex Van Pelt at 8%, and only 6% of the respondents say Jacoby Brissett is most to blame for the Patriots' offensive struggles.
Let me just say, I think Jacoby Brissett has a big role to play in it.
Yeah, he's the
most. The most to blame? No.
Well, I also
I wouldn't put him at the top. I'd say he's, he's definitely not helping you. And I thought there were certain points last night where he was actively hurting you. But he's not the biggest problem.
That's why I would agree that basically 86% are putting their focus in my poll on Elliott Wolf. Because Elliott Wolf is the guy who chose not to get a left tackle. He didn't go after Jonah Williams. He didn't trade up in the first round to get a starting caliber tackle. I think they had every intention of believing a starting caliber tackle was going to be available in the second round.
Yeah.
And then a run happened, and he wasn't. And you couldn't get one of those. And then they talked themselves and maybe us into, Caden Wallace can play left tackle, and Okorafor can play left tackle, and Scott Peters can teach him the strike principle or whatever it is, some Jean-Claude Van Damme movie that they freaking run on the offensive line. And it has blown up in... I would vote for that. Some combination of Elliot Wolf not getting a left tackle, because I think that's the fatal flaw. Now I think they should just go for the record. I'm just going to presume and assume that no team has ever started 17 different left tackles in a 17-game season.
I think you're right.
Go for it. See if you can make history somehow, some way. Just put different on when you're next, whatever your big 6'9", 390 guy is, give
Caleb
him a
Jones.
Shot.
Yep.
Layden Robinson, you're a big athlete, even though you got your ass whooped in that game.
Yep.
You get a shot. It's like Oprah. You get a shot, and you get a shot. Everybody plays left tackle.
Yeah, and that probably wouldn't be any worse than the play you've got there so far. By the way, Caden Wallace was drafted one selection after Brandon Coleman. Who's Brandon Coleman, you may ask? The starting left tackle, a rookie, starting for the Washington Commanders right now. And they're looking pretty good.
Did he play left tackle in college? I'm going to guess he did.
I believe he did, yes.
That's my biggest critique.
He moved around the offensive line, but he did play left tackle,
like,
yes.
Caden Wallace was a right tackle. Chukwuma Okorafor was a right tackle. You didn't hire it. I keep going back to it. It reminds me of Matt Patricia. You hired a coach, and
yep.
You said good coaches are good coaches, right? And he can just reverse engineer an offense. I think you did the same thing. Oh, good tackle's a good tackle. If you can play right tackle, you can play left tackle. No, you can't dodge a wrench and dodge a ball either.
Nope, no, you can't. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We got
Jackals.
Room for you here on the phone lines if you'd like to react to that brutal, brutal game we all watched last night. We also want to point out the point in the game where you knew it was over. I think I have mine, and also we'll get to the league leaders and who's circling the drain. Jacoby Brissett's going to join us at 4:30 in studio. We'll also talk with Jonathan Jones today. A jam-packed Patriots Monday here for you on Boston Sports Original WEEI.